Just before we come to look at these words from Jesus, let's just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, speak quietly to each one of us. Open our hearts so that we can feel your word seeping in. Open our minds so that we can hear you through any torment that we may have. Let us hear you, Father, as you speak now, for we ask this in your name. Amen. When we compare some of the most popular Christian messages to the words of Jesus in the Beatitudes, we come to understand just how counter-cultural the Sermon on the Mount really is. In the Beatitudes, Jesus is giving us a portrait of a kingdom person. In 8 descriptive statements, Jesus shows us the character of those who truly belong to the kingdom of God. The place where he begins should forever shock us out of any idea that God's kingdom is about our own self-image, prosperity or success. Jesus begins, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In this beatitude, Jesus teaches us that those who belong to his kingdom understand their spiritual poverty. But what does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor is to be destitute. The Greek word Jesus used is totchos. In the Greek world, this word was associated with the life of a beggar. The verb form of this word referred to one who bowed down timidly, crouching and cowering to beg for alms. So the term Jesus uses for poor refers to the destitute, the beggars who are without resources and totally dependent on others for their very lives. The spirit refers to our inward attitude of the heart. This use of the word spirit points to our spiritual disposition or attitude. Therefore, to be poor in spirit is to have an attitude or disposition which recognizes our poverty before God. One writer said, "Poor in spirit signifies those who are brought to the sense of their sins and, seeing no goodness in themselves, despair in themselves and apply wholly to the mercy of God in Christ." Therefore, to be poor in spirit is to see ourselves as we really are before God. We have nothing to commend us to God. We have no spiritual resources within ourselves. We have no claim to God or his mercy. We are spiritually bankrupt, destitute, just like the beggar. Jesus is telling us that the people who belong to his kingdom are the ones who sense and embrace their true condition before God. Scripture places a high value on poverty in spirit, as we saw in that passage from Isaiah where he writes, "For this is what the High and Lofty One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." And This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit. There is one passage in the New Testament where Jesus gives us a perfect example of this concept, both from a positive and negative standpoint. There's not enough time for me to read all the verses, but if you want to look it up when you go home, it's Luke chapter 18, and it's verses 9 to 14. And it's the parable that Jesus talks about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And in this, the Pharisee demonstrates the opposite of being poor in spirit. He was self-righteous, self-reliant, and proud. We get the sense that he thought God was lucky to have him on his team. He rehearsed all the wonderful spiritual achievements that he had on his resume. But the tax collector, he demonstrated what it meant to be poor in spirit. He couldn't look up. And we remember then that the root idea of the word poor is to bow down timidly, like the beggar. Here, in the tax collector, was a man who came to God as a spiritual beggar. He had no claim on God. He simply cried out for mercy, like the beggar who would cry out for bread. And also in Luke, Jesus says these words, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Those who belong to the kingdom of God are those who realize their spiritual sickness and come to Jesus to make them well. But let's get personal about this. Let's think about how we could tell if we are poor in spirit. I'd like to give some illustrations. We wouldn't be offended when confronted with the fact that we are a sinner. Like the Apostle Paul, we would feel that we are the chief of sinners, and we would admit that we have an ongoing struggle with indwelling sin. In Romans, Paul exclaims, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Then, we would be keenly aware of our own spiritual inadequacy, and we wouldn't try to keep up the appearance of self-righteousness, or place a high value on the mercy of God because we know that we cannot live without it, or boast only in Christ because we know that everything good in our life, loving family, good friends, a home to call our own, good health, fulfillment in our work life, all of this is because of God, because of Jesus Christ. It's no accident that the Beatitudes begin with this, the poor in spirit. If we are not poor in spirit, then we will not mourn. If we are not poor in spirit, we will not be merciful. If we are not poor in spirit, we will not hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so on. I hope now that you have a sense of what it means to be poor in spirit. But let's consider the second half of the Beatitude. The poor in spirit will be heirs or beneficiaries of the kingdom of God. We are told, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the rule and reign of God. Believers are presently citizens of this kingdom, and the fullness of the kingdom is yet future, and the poor in spirit will inherit this kingdom. We don't earn this right through doing good works. The poor in spirit realize they can't earn the favor of God because they are sinners and they have nothing to offer God. They realize their true condition and rely totally on the mercy of God in Christ. Being poor in spirit is a quality that reveals we presently belong to the kingdom, but one day will inherit it in all its fullness. In other words, if we are not poor in spirit, we won't recognize our own spiritual bankruptcy before God, and therefore we cannot be saved. The proud and the self-sufficient will not enter the kingdom of God. Those who think themselves to be good enough in themselves to merit God's favor will not enter the kingdom of God. So often we hear, and perhaps it's because we want to hear, a sermon which is geared toward boosting our self-esteem. But if this is the only message we hear, then all this is doing is to raise up our own pride and to focus our attention only on ourselves, and presents to us a Jesus whose primary mission is to make us feel good about our lives. But how does this line up with Jesus' insistence that we must be poor in spirit? Please understand that I am not promoting a kind of Christian life that is joyless and brooding. I'm not. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the gospel is only about our sin. Of course it isn't. The gospel is all about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about forgiveness of sins and transformation of a person into the image of Christ. But the good news of the gospel presupposes the bad news of sin. The kind of joy that is peddled by the self-esteem ministers is a false joy that bypasses the reality of our utter unworthiness. That gospel doesn't lead to the kingdom of God. It's about your kingdom, your success, your image. It's a self-indulgent gospel which really feeds on selfish desires. And I sincerely hope and would ask that none of us could settle for this kind of gospel. The gospel that brings people into the kingdom of God is the gospel of the poor in spirit. It is for those who know how terribly sick they are in sin. It is for those who understand their need for a doctor to heal them from their spiritual cancer. Those who embrace their spiritual poverty will be those who enjoy the eternal blessedness of the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount is not a set of laws. We enter the kingdom by being poor, by having nothing with which to negotiate, nothing to give. Like an empty water bottle, we come ready to be filled. So we must be honest, honest about the lies we have told ourselves, lies that we relied on for propping up our fragile egos. And this can be a scary thing. But when we realise that we are confessing our lies, our sin, and our shame to the one who promises us forgiveness and the whole kingdom of God, we realise that it is the only rational thing to do. I think perhaps the best way to close this morning is with a few words of a hymn that we'll sing later by Augustus Toplady, Rock of Ages. One of its verses captures the reality of what it means to be poor in spirit. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die.